Hey, everybody. Today in the Charlie Kirk Show, the new right rises. J.D. Vance's win in Ohio is a signal boost to conservatives everywhere about the rising conservative movement. What is the new right? What does the new right stand for? We talk about that as we detail how you deserve better political leadership than you have been getting. We talk about that here on this program. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show by taking out the podcast app and typing in Charlie Kirk Show and hitting subscribe, hitting that plus sign. You guys can get involved today with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Get involved with our Young Women's Leadership Summit at tpusa.com/YWLS. That's tpusa.com/YWLS. And email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com. The wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Last night was a shot heard around the world, something that I was personally very involved in. I remember last spring driving in the car. I think Andrew was with us and Jake was with us. We were going up to CPAC, and I had my first political phone call. I knew JD before, with JD Vance. And JD said, look, I'm thinking about potentially running for office. He was very careful, right, with how he would talked about it, obviously, because of all the kind of laws around it. He said, I'm thinking possibly. I said, you got to get in the race. I said, someone like you that understands really what's going on here could be part of the new right. I remember I used that term. And he said, okay, I'll think about it. You know, any advice you have for me? And I gave him a couple pointers and a couple introductions. And we had JD come out and speak at one of our Turning Point Action events a couple weeks later. And as soon as J.D. Vance announced for office, we endorsed him. Turning Point Action did enough. I could show you on air, but I won't because it would be humiliating and embarrassing for these people. And I don't want to do that. All of the quote unquote smart people that tried to mentor me about how dumb I was to endorse J.D. Vance. Oh, Charlie, he's never going to win. Or my favorite text that I have, someone has to come in fourth. People saying that JD stands no chance whatsoever, that you're going to make a fool. Charlie, your endorsement means more than this. Don't try to dilute it with fringe candidates, is what I was told. Fringe candidates on the outliers. And so I waited patiently and let the race kind of develop and let it grow and started to see how things were moving. And as months progressed, J.D. started to surge in the polls. And a couple weeks ago, obviously, J.D. Vance received the Donald Trump endorsement, the endorsement from President Trump, which was well-earned and well-deserved. And last night, J.D. Vance, in the primary campaign, heard around the world. In the primary campaign, heard around the world, we were able to shock everybody. And this is how MSNBC responded. Play cut 42.
And even at the end, three or four who could conceivably have won last night, and even it wasn't even close last night. This is he's got almost a 10-point victory here over Josh Mandel, who was like easily the front runner in this field until the day that Donald Trump endorsed J.D. Vance. So, you know, Donald Trump actually, as painful as it is for you to say, at least, that you're on Ted Cruz's side about anything, I feel the bitter bile rising in my throat when I say Donald Trump will brag about this today. Sure. And in the limited sense that, you know, he demonstrated that he still has an enormous power over his own party and their primary electorate, he'll be right. He has bragging rights on this today.
This is the rise of the new right. Now, mind you, I know a lot of people, good people, that are supportive of Turning Point USA that were on the other side of this primary. And I totally, you know, have respect for them, and we want the direction of the country to go in a center right direction. Obviously, I want it to go in a firm conservative direction. I know a lot of people that pump millions of dollars into this race against J.D. Vance, and they're good people. I know some other people that are not so good people that pump millions of dollars into this race for different reasons. J.D. Vance received criticism from every single institutional enemy, from the pharmaceutical companies, from the military-industrial complex, from the open border lobby. And what we saw last night with J.D. Vance's shocking, nearly double-digit victory in the state of Ohio is the creation of something that you deserve, that you as a voter deserve. We're going to call it the new right, but what is the new right? Well, this is the most important thing, and the media will not describe this correctly. Here's the right way to look at it. The voters have not changed. You have not changed. Your beliefs have remained the same. Instead, the new right is finally getting leaders that are in alignment with your values. That's what's changed. What's changed is not the fact that all of a sudden voters are changing their minds on issues like trade and immigration and the corporate oligarchy. No, finally, you get leaders that agree with you. Finally, you're not getting leaders that say one thing and do the other. You see, the new right, which you're starting to see pop up in congressional districts and this incredible, shocking victory in Ohio yesterday, is a new generation of leaders who will address the issues that this bipartisan oligarchy created. Look, the DC establishment hates JD the same way that they hated Donald Trump. It's unbelievable. In fact, that was Axios's lead this morning. I'm going to read it word for word. Axios, quote, "The Republican establishment privately regards J.D. Vance, who won last night's Ohio Republican Senate primary, with the same disgust many felt towards Donald Trump when he entered the White House. For every grassroots conservative, that should make you thrilled. That somebody won in the Ohio primary that the Washington, D.C. cartel, the Kingdom of Washington, D.C., hates so much that they poured almost $20 million in opposition." You see, the new right, as we describe it, is a response to voters. You see, the new right listens to their voters, looks to their concerns, and is willing to do something about it. You see, the old right, they had 5 or 6 or 7 beliefs that they wouldn't change no matter what. And let's just take one in particular. And I traveled the last couple days in Ohio with J.D. Vance, and the one issue where I got the most nods of agreement and the most applause was the issue of manufacturing. When I said that, look, Ohio got a raw deal, that your leader shut down your manufacturing base and in return you got piles of cheap plastic from China and opioids, everyone nodded their head. They saw that happen in Ohio, where the working class of Ohio had to be humiliated to train their replacements. Now, mind you, when you look at what happened across the heartland of Ohio, Republican leaders would always say, we need more international trade to fix this. Never actually having to say, wait a second, we love trade. Trade obviously can make a country richer, of course. But are there certain sectors that maybe you should take more seriously than others, like making steel? Is every sector the same? Is a managerial job and an information technology job, or even just the information economy, or some sort of consultant, is that as valuable to a country as someone who works with their hands and makes physical stuff? We learned during the Chinese Fauci coronavirus that if you don't make your own stuff, you're going to be reliant on foreign countries. That's just a very basic thing a country has to think about. That's not political, by the way. That's not ideological. It's just kind of being like, wow, that wasn't smart. And yet Republican establishment operatives and Republican candidates get as emotional about the issue of tariffs on China as we do about the transgender issue. Like when we hear about the transgender thing, we get like really passionate about it. They start screaming if you talk about tariffs. Why? Well, because it goes against the bottom line of the managerial class that shut down factories in Hubbard, Ohio, in Centerville, Ohio, and Middleton, Ohio. When I went to some of these manufacturing plants in Ohio and I met the leaders from these manufacturing plants, they said, Charlie, I pay a higher effective corporate tax rate than Jeff Bezos. That's not right. There's something wrong about that. The guy that has 150 employees that is actually making physical product that has to source his product, we should say as a country, that matters. Now, mind you, some Republicans say, well, that's picking winners and losers. They pick winners and losers all the time in Washington, D.C. It's just they just happen to want the loser to be the American worker. They want the managerial class to benefit. They get winners and losers. How about the bank bailouts for Goldman Sachs? That wasn't picking winners and losers for Citibank or for Wells Fargo or JP Morgan. They pick winners and losers all the time. Pfizer, that wasn't picking winners and losers for a vaccine mandate funded by taxpayers. No, what they're really saying is that we don't want those people in the heartland of the country to ever get their power back. That's what they're really saying. I'm going to save these emails. Someone says, Charlie, I love Trump and y'all, but you supported a rhino named J.D. Vance. Okay, we'll see. 2 years from now, I think you'll have a different opinion. When J.D. Vance is on the committees investigating Fauci and Facebook and Google and putting the pressure on, I want everyone will have an opportunity to reconsider. It's okay. I understand after primaries, people can have strong opinions. I totally understand that. Okay, but I want to kind of build this out, which is you deserve better as a voter. You deserve better. And one of the people that was actually stumping with us in Ohio is Josh Hawley. And Josh Hawley is somebody who has just blown away expectations, by the way. You look at how he's investigated tech. Now, let me tell you the power of what one senator can have. And mind you, Josh Hawley is considered probably the most conservative senator in Congress. He's up there, right? What kind of impact can one senator have? Well, Josh Hawley was the only one that was willing to actually expose Ketanji Brown Jackson's child pornography cases. You know that no one was talking about that before Josh Hawley? No one. And in fact, Josh Hawley has now, I believe, permanently mired, and good for good reason, the reputation of Ketanji Brown Jackson and her child pornography defense. That's what one senator can do. Senator Josh Hawley has exposed more corruption within Facebook than any other senator. Now, why am I saying this? Is that it just takes a group of people eventually to build consensus in the Senate. This is one of the reasons why they're so worried. In fact, some of the internal DC chatter that got leaked is, quote, oh no, I hope it's not another Josh Hawley with J.D. Vance. Josh Hawley has been one of the most socially conservative senators, by the way, on every single potential issue. But Josh Hawley represents the new right, but Josh Hawley sneaked through. You must understand, Josh Hawley ran a very boring Senate campaign. Very buttoned up, very, you didn't quite know where he stood on things. Josh, I went to a fundraiser once. I was invited to it. And things were different back then in 2018 at a billionaire's home in Dallas. And it was hosted by George W. Bush for Josh Hawley. And I attended just to kind of see. And, you know, George Bush, I've met him a couple times. He's actually a very nice person. And he was having a good time. And so there's Bush literally raising money for Josh Hawley. I don't think he's going to do that anymore. One of the reasons why Josh Hawley, I think he worked in the Bush White House. I could be mistaken, but I know he clerked for John Roberts. That's where he met his wife. And Senator Hawley's been incredibly impressive, but Hawley kind of snuck through in the 2018 wave. You see, they want someone who runs as a conservative, but actually votes in the Senate like a moderate establishment type. Hawley did the opposite. Hawley really confused a lot of people in Washington, D.C. He ran as a super boring candidate, and he's been an unbelievably aggressive U.S. senator in a good way. How so? Senator Josh Hawley, if you go to his website, I saw this earlier, I couldn't believe it. If you go to his website, he has on there a trust-busting agenda for the 21st century. That's like the lead on Josh Hawley's website. Right here, a trust-busting agenda for the 21st century. Josh Hawley is willing to say, wait a second, why are we as conservatives okay with the corporate oligarchy created by Google and Amazon and Disney and Netflix? He argues that their monopoly powers control our speech, our economy, and our country. He's arguing for a natural rights perspective. Now, what's the point here? Josh Hawley was kind of the accidental start of the new right, but J.D. didn't hide his beliefs. J.D. said very clearly, look, I'm going to be more of a Josh Hawley type senator. And President Trump, to his great credit, endorsed him. President Trump could have done the safe pick. This was a risky endorsement for President Trump. There is no doubt. J.D. Vance was near the top of the pack, but he certainly wasn't totally there. And after President Trump endorsed J.D. Vance in Ohio, he was met with more attack ads, not less. He was met with more attacks, almost a 10-to-1 spending disadvantage. People are now saying on Twitter, they're saying J.D. Vance is worse than Ted Cruz, is what they're saying. By worse, we mean better. We think of it as better. But there's something very profound here, which is I want fighters to go to Washington, D.C. And look, there's no way I can prove it to you, you know, until you see it for yourself. I just know JD. I know what he believes. And you'll see it when he goes there. But I don't want more of the same. I don't want more of candidates who kind of argue for no-fly zones or for open borders. I don't want that, nor should you, by the way. We want someone with courage and with clarity. And last night, in my opinion, and obviously we could disagree, but there'll be no disagreement kind of once we see the proof. There's no disagreement Josh Hawley's a great senator. Give it a year. A year from today, mark it down. May 2023, if J.D. Vance becomes a U.S. senator, which it looks like he will, let's see how he does. Hey, everybody. We know that there are worldwide food shortages, and it will be a real threat sometime soon. Are you ready? Do you have food stored up for months and months? Well, look, I use preparewithkirk.com, and you'll save $150 right now on a three-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. I have their food. It's very good, and it will last. It's what you need. Your three-month emergency food kit gives you wide variety of delicious meals, covering breakfast, lunch, dinner, and drinks, and snacks for three full months per person. If the worst happens and you don't have emergency food, I promise you, you'll deeply regret it. So go to preparewithkirk.com right now to save $150 per a three-month food kit. Act quickly because these kits are flying out the door. Preparewithkirk.com, your order ships fast and will arrive discreetly at your door in unmarked boxes. You'll get free shipping as well. That is preparewithkirk.com, preparewithkirk.com. Check it out right now, preparewithkirk.com. All right, so look, here's the thing. If you feel as if Congress is disconnected from your values and how hard you want to see them fight, you're right. And one of the reasons is why these Republican, it's because these Republican primaries are so incredibly expensive, and it's hard for the conservative, for the national conservative candidate to escape all of the ads that the establishment moderate candidate is able to benefit from. And this is one of the things that I think people have to recognize and realize, which is voters are so misrepresented in Washington, D.C., not because you don't show up, but it's because of the system itself that's so difficult to be able to put the best people in office. I guarantee you, whether you're in Idaho or South Carolina or Illinois or Michigan, you have a super good conservative candidate that you know would be a rock star. It's just they're up against huge money. They're up against massive odds. And J.D. Vance was able to break through a lot of that, largely in part thanks to President Trump's endorsement. But when you start all of a sudden talking about that we're going to put tariffs on Chinese imports, people start to get very nervous. Talking about how Ohio has been so significantly deindustrialized over the last couple of years, people start to get very nervous because there's a lot of profits made by the New York managerial class that came in from companies like McKinsey, and they came in and they shut down these factories, gave pink slips to everyone. They said, hey, don't worry, you're going to have a job for the next 6 weeks training your replacements in Bangalore, India, or in Wuhan, China. How humiliating is that? And that has created a fair amount of, I think, deserved resentment. I don't love the politics of resentment. I don't think you like that either. But there is a legitimate claim to ask yourself the question, was the deindustrialization of our country, was that a just and right thing to do? Did it make America a richer country? It made the coasts a lot richer, and it made the heartland scrambling for a livelihood. Let's go to Cut 50, J.D. Vance calling out the establishment in both parties over their handling of the drug crisis. Play Cut 50.
Think about the drug crisis. An establishment Republican Party that refused to do anything against the Sackler family, which poisoned this state with drugs, and an establishment Democrat Party that is actively encouraging the Mexican drug cartels to flood us with even worse drugs, the fentanyl that's made in communist China. How about we put them both in jail, ladies and gentlemen? Why don't we do that?
What he just did there is talking about the Sackler family. Sackler family, which of course ran Purdue Pharmaceutical. The Sackler family, in a book that was exposed, boy, I want to find, there's this journalist, I'll think of it. It was a phenomenal book. It was written by a liberal journalist, and it exposed the entire corruption of the Sackler family. He went on Tucker Carlson like a year ago. It's one of the best interviews Tucker's done. A very, very talented journalist went into how the Sackler family, basically through corruption and FDA swindling, was able to get highly addictive, chemical compounded opioids that never should have been on the streets into communities. Now, you might say, well, Charlie, why is it that Ohio had a disproportionate amount of drug addiction versus, say, Massachusetts for this sort of, I think it's Empire of Pain. I think that's exactly right. Yeah. I think so. Anyway, so the why is it that Ohio or Pennsylvania has this problem, not as much as, I don't know, again, Massachusetts or a place that has a highly dependence on the managerial economy? Well, it's really simple. It's because in Ohio, that's where the muscular class lives. So you're working at a manufacturing plant, or you're working at a, you know, a truck depot, and you're picking up boxes, and you might get hurt at work. And since you're in the muscular class, you go to your doctor, and because of the heavy pill pushing done by Purdue Pharmaceutical, a lot of these people were given these drugs, not even understanding what they were. Highly addictive painkillers. Highly addictive. And it had a disproportionate impact on the muscular class. Not to say that opioids haven't hurt other communities. They've hurt everybody. But you look at what communities have had more damage done to them. It's the ones that actually work at their hands because they're more likely to be hurt at work. They're walking around with back pain. They're walking around with all sorts of different types of pain. And all of a sudden, they fall victim to this sort of empire, the Sackler family empire. Why are Republicans not talking about the Sackler family a lot? Wonder why that is. Well, Joe Biden is now coming out, and he is coming straight against the entire MAGA movement. In fact, he's saying that this is the most radical political movement in American history. Joe Biden has come out, and he has said that this is, that MAGA movement is the most radical political movement we've ever seen. More radical than the KKK, more radical than Southern Democrats, more radical than the Confederacy. Play cut 49.
What happens if you have a state changes the law saying that children who are LGBTQ can't be in classrooms with other children? Is that legit under the way that the decision is written? What are the next things that are going to be attacked? Because this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history.
I wouldn't have had on my bingo card to have Joe Biden say the term MAGA anytime soon. It's kind of just hearing him say MAGA is kind of, it's kind of validation though, isn't it? It's kind of like first they don't exist. They're just a couple people. And now he says the MAGA crowd. Yeah. More extreme than the pro-slavery Southern Democrats. Like more extreme than John C. Calhoun. Like really? Yeah. That's what he believes actually. And the reason is they have to justify their national security apparatus to come after people like us. This is exactly why they got to keep this narrative alive, because that's how they justify spying on moms and dads that show up to school boards across the country. Now, what are his fears? I mean, he says that somehow that kids are not going to be able to go to class together. Now, mind you, he's not even talking about abortion. He's moved on. He's moved on to say, well, what's next? So maybe reversing Roe versus Wade isn't that radical. Oh, wait, Joe Biden actually voted to reverse Roe versus Wade in 1974. He voted, actually, Roe versus Wade was federal overreach. In fact, in 2012, Joe Biden said that life begins at conception, but he doesn't believe any of those things anymore, obviously. Joe Biden is really afraid that the MAGA movement, which I just love the fact that he says MAGA, it's hilarious, is going to result in more parents taking over school boards, result in stronger borders. The new right, which he just calls the MAGA movement, after 6 years, he finally calls it that, is an existential threat to the Great Reset. Understand this. The Great Reset, which we've talked about at great length here on this program and with the wonderful Jack Hibbs at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, the Great Reset will happen with establishment Republicans. The Great Reset gets put in jeopardy with more people like Josh Hawley, more people like J.D. Vance. The Great Reset needs compliant Republicans. So what does the new right believe? The new right believes that there are two genders, that America's a wonderful country, that you actually don't have to overthink some of these issues, that the quote-unquote Washington, D.C. think tanks have actually overly complicated these issues, that a strong manufacturing base is important, no foreign adventurism, our borders matter more than foreign borders, that we actually want to win. And here's the thing, is that winning is the best conversion. Nothing turns people's minds like winning. Nothing. I have people calling me now that hated J.D. Vance weeks ago, and they're like, man, I'm all on that J.D. Vance train now. I said, I wonder why. It's funny. Once you get more votes than somebody else, everyone's like, I'm a big fan of his. He's terrific. He's wonderful. You want to convert people? Get more votes than the other guy. A new generation of leaders across all sorts of demographics. Now rising up. And I think it's an extension and a continuation of the Tea Party movement. I'm going to connect that, though. I'm going to connect the Tea Party movement with the New Right and the MAGA movement. It's very similar. It's not as based on the same things. And I'm going to talk about in the final segment here. I lived through the Tea Party movement. I got my start in the Tea Party movement. How the Tea Party movement got corrupted, not by the leaders of the Tea Party movement, but by the establishment Republicans that saw an opening and opportunity to really have their own interest actually be accomplished via some of the Tea Party messaging. Look, over the years, you've probably tried difficult investments in stocks and mutual funds, so you know they can be volatile and unpredictable. But with inflation running at the highest rate of 40 years, do you want volatility and uncertainty? Being able to sleep at night, knowing where your money actually is, it's worth its weight in gold. And speaking of gold, if you've been jumping from one investment to the other, a gold IRA from Noble Gold might be perfect for you. A reliable hedge against inflation just fell into our laps. With gold, you shield yourself from gains in taxes. You keep the real value of your wealth. You'll own a global asset. It's something tangible and protect your wealth against an economic crash. I own gold and you should as well. So what's not to like? And this month, for every gold IRA above $20,000, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more at noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, noblegoldinvestments.com. All right, so I want to tell you a little bit about Tea Party and the MAGA movement and the New Right. And so that's actually a good book to write, The New Right. That would actually be a great book. I should probably say I'm writing a book on it just to get the claim to it, right? It could come out in like February or March. Should just send out a tweet. I'm writing a book called The New Right just to kind of make sure it's reserved. It's actually a good idea. So, all right, I got my start in the Tea Party movement. The Tea Party movement was awesome, and I believe everything I still believed back then. The Tea Party movement was a reaction, though, to Barack Obama's massive federal overspending. Now, mind you, at the time, Democrats understood the country was largely socially conservative. At the time, Barack Obama believed marriage was one man, one woman. At the time, Democrats were even afraid to be full-throated, full abortion advocates. At the time, transgenderism was not a term people knew. At the time, schools were not completely and totally corrupted. There were little things there. I was at a public school at the time. It just wasn't political. And so at the time, the disdain, the backlash was around massive federal overspending, tax too much, tax enough already, T, which was the kind of acronym, and was this kind of idea of too much debt, deficits, all that, right? And so we're at this moment where in the Tea Party movement, where 2010, we take back the House of Representatives in an enormous fashion. But the problem was, John Boehner and many of the other establishment Republicans, they hijacked the energy of the MAGA movement, not the MAGA, the Tea Party movement. Sorry, I'll get to MAGA in a second. And they didn't really deliver a lot of their promises. Some of the things we wanted was a balanced budget amendment. My goodness, would that have been awesome. We wanted fiscal sanity. We were warning about how debts and deficits were going to drown our generation. I got my start talking about this, actually. That's where Turning Point USA got its start. I still believe all those things, but the war broadened, if you will. The landscape expanded where it wasn't just about debts and deficits, and that's really where Donald Trump came. The Tea Party movement started to lose steam in 2013, 14, and 15 a little bit, but immediately was brought back to life through Donald Trump. All of the organizing of the Tea Party movement was brought back to life, where Donald Trump wasn't just criticizing the overspending, which he did, and to honestly, he wasn't a totally fiscally balanced president. He wasn't. Fiscally, it was a little bit more deficit than I would personally like at all. But he used a lot of that energy of the disgust of Washington, D.C. That's what I'm trying to say. He properly tapped into the energy of the Tea Party. So the Tea Party went into the MAGA movement. Now, people say, Charlie, what about before the Tea Party movement? I don't think there was a grassroots movement post-Reagan. I think the grassroots movement, the only would be Ross Perot. I think it was Reagan, Perot, and then we just kind of went into hiding. Why? Well, it's because things were actually really good in the late 90s and early 2000s. It's like we didn't have a lot to protest. The stock market was increasing. Wages were going up. We balanced our budget in the 90s. Now, by good, I mean it was a sugar high good. It was an artificial good. It was communism fell in the early 90s. It wasn't built on substantial foundational growth. It was the ego, the embedded growth obligation. Every day is just going to be better than yesterday. Every year will be better than last year. Every decade will be better than last decade. And so there really wasn't a need for a grassroots movement. Grassroots movements come when things start to fall apart. So Iraq happens in 2003, 2004, and there was a movement against that. There was a movement against Bush, but it was very focused on Bush, focused on adventurous internationalist wars. And finally, in 2008, financial crisis happens. You had a little bit of the Occupy Wall Street and then obviously the Tea Party movement, but just general fiscal disdain. But now we see the MAGA movement, and this is a great thing for Donald Trump. And I told him this yesterday when I saw him. I'm going to see him again tonight at Mar-a-Lago. His movement will now live beyond him for a very long time. And every political leader deep down wants that, right? Every political leader wants it not to stop with them. I mean, the Bushes, it stopped with them. That's it. They're done. They don't have a legacy. Reagan, he had coattails for a long time. But Donald Trump has now successfully been able to anoint other people to say that this is the new right. This is the new Republican Party. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.